my knapsack sing, my knapsack on my back. Ballerine,
good morning. Welcome to Wanderings. This is Syl Stenman. And
this is Sandy Washington. And we're very happy to... Supervisor.
Tell me a little bit about what that means in terms of a dining room supervisor.
So basically I oversee front of the room duties, make sure all dining room employees, just watching over, making sure that they're doing their serving duties, being a server at times as well as, you know, stepping in as host, pretty much anything and everything that the team needs, but mainly just making sure that everybody within the community gets exactly what they need day in and day out.
Okay. Now, Priscilla is back here.
Oh, I'm so sorry. We're off to kind of a rough start here. David Roos is not in the radio room with us. We have Brian Pizzullo. And I went down to talk to April and see if they could switch the picture. She said, I'll try, but I'm not sure it can happen. And Miranda's not here today, so, you know... I will tell you that when you come into Centennials, you'll always find a very wonderful welcome from Brian. That's the man that we're talking to right now. So picture that. This is Brian. And this is Wanderings for today.
This is Sandy Washington with Syl Stenman. And welcome, Brian.
Thank you,
Sandy. Buenos Aires.
I appreciate you.
I know you're from an Italian family.
Yes, Italian and Slovenian.
Yeah. Well, I want you to picture this is because when I first started talking to Brian earlier, in my mind came this large dining room table, food all from end to end, people laughing, talking, how are you today, and anxious to eat. Maybe there's a mama there that says, please have some more. And that's, to me, an Italian dining table, and I think that's what you represent to me, Brian.
Hey, well, you just explained my every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday within my family. Every single Sunday. In fact, I go from working the buffet now, closing that down. As soon as I'm done doing that, I go straight to my ma's to help her cook for the family. My kids come over. My brother comes over. All of our dogs, fiancés, boyfriends, things of that nature. So
you can be a total of what? 10?
It does matter. Not so busy day, it's 8. But we're usually preparing for at least 12 people. Especially with, you know, my brother has a dog and I have 2. So we include them in the events as well. They don't eat at the dinner table, but they're there.
And you get together every Sunday for dinner?
Every single
Sunday.
Oh,
that's wonderful.
Every single Sunday. But it's great for me, you know, because I'm pretty busy during the week. So it's a guaranteed opportunity that I have time to spend with my mom and dad and my brother, who I don't get to see very.
That's communication at the very best.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I love about the Italian families or the Latin families is the closeness of the family. I know that I, growing up in Cuba, realize that. You know, there's a bond.
There is.
And family is the most important thing mm-hmm. for families.
And I remember, Brian, you talking about how do you know who might be struggling that day mm-hmm. if you don't have a chance to sit down and talk about that, or maybe something really wonderful, like an engagement. You
right.
might not want to hear about that at such an occasion.
Yes, I completely agree. I think I feel like society has kind of moved away from the whole having dinner together as a family. I did that during the week when I was raising my kids. I made sure we had dinner together every single night because that's important to be able to read your children, have a conversation with your children, check in with them for the day, see how they're doing, just so that you know what you're dealing with and where to guide them.
And so many times families are so rushed, they have to take their kids off to soccer or go off to choir practice, and it's rush, rush, rush. And when you eat together, it's a time to be together and get to know each other.
Yes, exactly. A stress-free time where you can.
And so how old are your children?
I'm sorry?
How old are you?
So I have three children. One, her name was Anisette. She was 26. That did pass. And then I have my oldest son is 24, and then my daughter, who is 21 years old.
And your son, tell us the good news about what's happening with him.
So my son is recently engaged, and he will be starting his life.
And your daughter?
My daughter is actually, she has plans to move to Texas, and she's going to take care of a family out there.
That's so great. And you have another business on the side. Well, we'll get into that. Sandy, did you want to?
Well, your two children have been living with you.
Yes.
Haven't you? So suddenly you're going to have an empty nest.
Oh, boy.
Welcome to the rest of us.
Yes, I don't know what I'm going to do. No idea what I'm going to do.
Well, you
that.
Keep so busy and you have so many interests.
Yeah, try to keep myself busy.
That's good.
You know, with the businesses and working here, I do a good job. Do a good job of doing that. So,
well, we know about what you do here, and we'll talk about that in more detail. But your other business, what are you doing?
So I own my own T-shirt and sweatshirt shop. So we run a printing service. I do all kinds of design work. I'm able to design you something if you don't have anything in mind. I do a lot of events for companies that are going to Vegas to conventions and things like that, so I print them T-shirts. I actually even printed T-shirts for Holly and her family to go to Vegas. But one of the best and most rewarding parts of my job is we have sports contracts with youth sports and some adult sport organizations, and it's just putting the names on the back of youth jerseys. So when you have like a six-year-old little boy or girl that come up to enjoy their first sport for the first time, and they see that they got their name on their jersey, they light up like Christmas Day. So it's very rewarding.
They have found something they belong to.
Yes,
and
they
that's
have.
Important with a number of friends.
And everybody likes to see their name.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's where family starts, right? Is with a team. When you're younger, you don't understand what family's about too much, but the team kind of teaches you a little bit about that.
It's a beautiful example. Now, do you do other than T-shirts?
So a lot of sweatshirts. I do.
Do
I
you
have
do
done some
like
hats.
Baseball cats?
Yes, I work with all my material. I work with vinyl and image printing. So even if you wanted to, you know, put a picture of Sandy on a hat, and Sandy, you could put a picture of Still on a hat. We can do that.
Oh, that's kind of complicated.
For Christmas.
Well, you know, the radio station here was, when we moved in, it was all men, about five or six men. They had caps. with the radio on it.
And they come in all sizes, Brian?
Any size you want. The only person that I ever have trouble with is I have an uncle, and he's big and tall. Like, so I had to find like a 5XL
really?
Big and tall sweatshirt to make for him just this a couple weeks ago. So he's the only one that I struggle
with. I
have
no doubt you found it. Looks
sounds
pretty
like
good.
A football player.
Thank you, my mom. Yeah, my mom found it.
You said you like to doodle, so that's a good way of just using that fun adventure to put on someone's shirt or hat.
Yes.
That's great. So do you have people in your family that are speaking Italian?
Nowadays, no, but yes, back in growing up, most definitely, my whole dad's side of the family would speak Italian. In fact, but they never would teach the children. There was me and my brother, and I have maybe five other cousins, and none of them were taught how to speak Italian by our family.
But what did you do?
What I did was I just got tired because, like I said, every single Sunday we get together for Sunday dinner. Now, back then, I was in Ohio, and my grandparents lived across the street. So it's more than 10, 12 people. Well, everybody on my dad's side would sit at a table, you know, and you know, they talk Italian when once my mom's side of the family would leave. So I just got tired of sitting there and not knowing what was going on. So back then we had Walkmans with cassette tapes. And I just Rosetta Stoned the cassette tapes from the, I checked them out of the library. And I brought them home and I just put headphones on when I went to sleep. And I learned to speak a little bit of Italian. Enough to answer my grandfather one day when he was sitting around and I thought I was a hotshot. And he asked my aunt a question in Italian and I answered, and at that point he stood up and he in English said, you know, who taught the kid how to speak? And they all got up and moved to the garage and left me sitting there empty-handed.
That was such a surprise. but you learned it in the night.
Yes, enough. I mean, it took. I was hooked on phonics. I'll tell you that. It took quite a while. I mean, it took at least 2 years of listening. You know, and the frustrating part was I couldn't let anybody know, you know, what I was doing. Yeah, God forbid if my mom ever checked under my mattress or deep down inside my pillowcase, because then she would find my cassette with the tapes in there.
What a wonderful way to learn. Don't you think so, Sandy?
You know, I grew up in Cuba, and my native language is Spanish. So when I went to Italy, I had a wonderful time speaking to Italian people. And how much we understood mm-hmm. the Italian and the Spanish is very similar.
Yes, it is. A lot of the.
And I love the Italian music.
Yes, oh. That gets you going, huh?
Yeah.
It does. It's very romantic. But a lot of speaking on the language, just a lot of the vowels are different on the end of the the words. A's change to yeah. O's turn to
but
A's.
We could understand each other.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had that question in my mind when I wrote your name out. Is it O or A? And I think I have a little of both on these papers. So you had a special connection with your grandparents too, and tell us more about them.
Very special connection. My grandmother, she took my grandfather had a massive hemorrhage of the brain when I was about 6 years old. My grandmother took care of my grandfather, never put him in a home. We're talking about he was a vegetable. He wasn't able to eat on his own. He wasn't able to go to the bathroom on his own, dress himself, none of that. She did that for him for 19 years.
That's amazing. That's mm-hmm. amazing.
19 years straight. My grandmother is actually, she's the one who taught me what we call in our family is grandma love.
Yeah.
The true meaning of love, right? Where you love that person, you marry that person, you're with that person. No matter what happens to that person, you're always there for them.
What a lesson. And you did something special in honor of your grandmother. She asked you.
Yes, I did.
Do you want to tell about that?
Yeah, I did. So with my story here, this is the story about my hair. This is how my hair came about. I was bald for at least 20 years. I would shave my, even though I had a full head of hair, you know, I would shave my head bald. It was just easy maintenance, I have to mm-hmm. be honest with you. You know, I get in the shower and go. So I would go back home, back to Cleveland to visit my grandma. And my grandma, every single time, the very first thing she would say to me before she would even say hello, when are you going to grow your hair? You have such a beautiful head of hair. So it was one night that my son, he was approaching high school, and my son plays basketball, and he wanted to make the freshman team. And so I went to bed with a lot of weight on my shoulders, like nervousness, hoping that he does make it because he had tryouts coming the next day. So I had a dream, and a lot of things come true in my dreams, but in this particular one, my grandfather, it was just a picture of his head, and he was speaking to me, and he said that it was time to take my grandma up to heaven. And it's a dream, so I'm in negotiation mode. I said, there's no way. She's too wonderful of a woman. You can't take her. You have to give me something in return, right? So I said, my son, he's trying out for the team. If you can help him make the team, well, yeah, you can take grandma. And he just smiled, and my grandfather had a gold tooth, and the light just sparkled off his tooth, and he went away. And I woke up. Well, when I woke up in a panic, in a frantic, and I called my ma immediately, and I said, Ma, I have to go back home. I need to go visit grandma. And she, why? What's going on? I said, I just feel like something's going to happen, and I won't be able to visit with her. And she immediately says, you know, she got upset, and she said, well, who told you? And I said, who told me what? And she, which one of your aunts or uncles called you and told you this? And I said, what, Mom? I had this dream. And she says, Brian, you know, I want to tell you, your grandma has cancer. She only has 3 months to live. So knowing that my brother and I were going to go back and see her for our last time, I started growing my hair. And it was about just a little over a month. It grew just an inch or so, but it was all over. And I walked in, and she busted out in tears, and she cried and cried and cried. And that day when I walked up to her, she had made me make a promise that I would keep my hair for the rest of my life. And I did. And, you know, look at me now. So when I go to heaven, I want to have the long, show nice, grandma. Flowing hair so I could say, here I am. Hi.
I think that's a great story. People appreciate that. And the devotion your grandmother had to her husband is such a good family story. You have so many good stories, Brian. How did you come to Holly Creek?
So I was, my daughter, Talia, used to, she was working at Summer and Glen. And I decided to do something to occupy my time, right? Emptiness feeling. And she put my name in, and here I am.
And what was the process that you went through to get the job?
So this is a pretty funny story. It wasn't a very lengthy process due to residents that actually do live here. When I had my phone interview with Lynn, and then I went ahead and came in for my in-person interview. It was the very first time that I had ever met Lynn, that I've ever been to Holly Creek. And as soon as I sat down at the lobby bar where Lynn had his notes and was waiting for me, a couple walked up. They had just signed up here to
live. As new residents?
Yes, a couple of residents. And they said, you know, the woman says, she gets all excited. She says, oh, hi, how are you? How have you been? And, you know, I'm kind of shook a little bit. I'm kind of surprised because I've never, ever seen these people before in my life. And she says, you're the guy that fixed our furnace. She says, you did such a good job. She puts her arm around Lynn, and she says, you should hire him. He does great work. He's amazing. You know, and I'm sitting there like knowing, right, furnace work is not on my resume, and it's right in front of Lynn. And so I can kind of, I do a good job of reading people, and the look on Lynn's face while he's looking at me, you know, while they're talking to me is, you did furnace work? So, you know, I'm looking at him like, no, I've never touched a furnace in my life. So, you know, well, it's good to see you. You know, I hope you have a wonderful day. And she says, you too, you know, I'm glad that you're hopefully you'll be working here. And, you know, and they walk away. And, of course, Lynn, the first thing he says to me is, you fix furnaces? I says, Lynn, I swear to you, I have never touched a furnace in my life. I said, I have no idea. And he says, well, you're hired. And I said, really? You don't want to ask me anything else? And he says, no. Do you see what you did there? How you handled that situation? I mean, that's exactly what we're looking for here at Holly Creek. So,
well, Lynn was very wise. We're delighted to have you here.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. Yeah. You have no idea.
And why is that?
It's actually, it has a lot to do with the people It has everything to do with the people and how welcoming you are and how loving you are. I describe this to my family as a bubble. When I walk in here, I can feel the energy, all the negative energy that's outside in the outside world. It's not in here because of all the love and all the care that you have for each other.
Sandy, isn't that nice to hear?
Oh, it's wonderful. I've always felt the same thing about Holly Creek, that the most important thing about Holly Creek are the people and staff.
Mm-hmm. Well, that you have that feeling without anybody announcing it, or that's just a feeling that you express yourself, that you've mm-hmm. experienced.
Yeah, well, but you can feel it. It's warmth. It's very loving, caring.
You're very intuitive. You feel people, the energy around you.
Yes, yes, that's good, and that's bad, right? Like, for example, if I'm in a grocery store and I'm completely happy, and I'm even singing the song that they have playing in King Soopers, and I'll be dancing around, moving down the frozen food section, if you can picture that, and all of a sudden, like, there'll be somebody that passes me. It doesn't matter if it's male or female. And they're having a really bad day, and they're very negative, and they're very angry. I feel that. I can sense that. In fact, it drains all of my happiness. I stop singing, and I absorb their energy, so it makes me feel the same way that they're feeling.
It's kind of amazing. That's bothersome in some ways and very helpful in other ways.
Yes, I mean, it can be overwhelming. You know, for example, I don't go to crowded events. If a brand new movie comes out that everybody wants to see, I have to wait like 3 weeks to go and see it. Just because when you're absorbing all sorts of different energies at the same time, it gets to be extremely overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I don't watch the news or anything of that nature because of that.
And yet you're aware of what's going on, and you know what to avoid, what to mingle with.
Most definitely. You spend a lot of time at home, right? Mm-hmm. And going places just at odd times. Very aware. I was always taught to keep yourself out of situations. A lot of negative things are going to happen in life regardless. It's just how you push through them and channel those, right, with positivity. So I'm out here trying to do my best to stay positive. It's hard to stay positive and be positive for your family and your children and absorb all the negativity that other people have that you're not even responsible for.
I think so much in our lives is attitude. You know, how the attitude we have towards our jobs or towards our people or difficult situations. It's what our attitude is.
I agree. It's how you position it in your mind, mm-hmm. and, you know, weigh it out, pros and cons, right? Like, what are the pros, and focus on that.
Now, in your spare time, which I can't really call it spare, but you make room for some other things. You go to the gym, and you do things. Tell us what you do there at...
So I try. I go to, with what time I do have, I am at the gym. I do a lot of training. I've been a mixed martial artist for years, but I've used that to help children, underprivileged children, handicapped children, to be able to defend themselves with bullying. I went through a lot with both of my children getting through high school this day and age with being bullied. So I know just at second hand, and going, you know, as a parent going through that with your children, how that feels. So, you know, just trying to clean things up as much as I can out there and make bully kids feel like they have an out.
So can you teach them there, or do you speak, have conversations, and just be a friend to them there? Or mm-hmm. do you actually teach some of the martial arts and things? Where
all of the above. Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to be coach in many sports, basketball, football for my son. My daughter was karate and volleyball, but they all do, because I'm looked at as a coach, you know, to their friends, and so they come to me, coach, you know, what can I do about this? I'm having this problem. You know, sometimes more than even my own kids.
That reminds me of a trophy you have somewhere. You went to high school here, and you mentioned that. And what? Tell us a story about that.
I did. I went to Highlands Ranch High School back when it was just Highlands Ranch High School. There weren't seven other high schools in the area, and we were extremely good in football. We won. We went to state, and we went all the way to the championship game. I was fortunate enough to have my name in the trophy case with the rest of my team.
Oh, that's wonderful. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I hope your children see this and feel good about it.
They do. You know what? I mean, I have to be honest. In getting them to graduate with all the things you have to deal with in what we just talked about, that was my main thing. Look at my name in the trophy case. You get through it, walk by and look at my name and understand that, you know, you can get through what you're getting through. It was just a little bit of motivation. That's why you're there.
Mm-hmm.
So I can make you look at my name in the trophy case to hopefully you want your name there too.
Good incentive, good inspiration for them. You also do some writing.
Mm-hmm,
What are you working on?
So I have a couple things I'm really just doodling at. I'm working on it's a football story where the coach, the head coach of the team, and they're a successful football team, he passes. And they just kind of have to battle not having him around and not having the luxury of having him there. A new coach comes in. Not everybody likes the new coach. They're battling against, you know, what they don't like about him. They start turning against each other. Things start happening. So that's one of them. However, I want to eventually, if I can get some off time, write a series of books in each genre. So, for example, someone will send a letter at the end of this book out to, like, somebody that's at war or somebody that's in Denver, Colorado in the 50s, right? And then it turns into a Western or a war story, things of that nature.
Do you have time to work on all that? That's just a matter of trying to put something aside so you can do it, but
not now.
Not now.
No, not now. That's why it's kind of, it's just all stuck there right now.
What are your hours here at Holly Creek?
So I am here from 11 a.m. till, on average, about 7:30 p.m. Thursday through Tuesday.
So you've got to go right away after you're done talking here, almost.
Oh, no, Tom knows I'm here. Tom said to take as much time as I need today.
I think that's great, you know, because we've had Len here with us, and sometimes we get to acting silly and well, I have to watch the time, so
yeah.
Get back on your work. Sandy.
So now that Lynn is away, he left the other day for Scotland or London, I guess. Are you in charge now?
Not fully. That would be, you know, Tom and Holly are here. If I don't even get to sit at his desk.
Does he sit?
Not a whole lot. Well, I mean, we're always on the move.
I
have to be honest. It doesn't. There's hardly anybody sitting around in the office.
Well, I have to tell you one more time before we leave Wanderings. The picture, we did not have a picture, and I'm sorry because we have a great picture of you, and I sent it. We thank you so much, but when you come into Centennials, you'll be welcomed very nicely from Brian. That's who you've been listening to this morning. And Brian, I apologize for that we couldn't get.
Thank you so much for being with us.
I'm just so grateful to be here.
Now, how do you say goodbye in Italian?
Buonasera.
No, I mean, it's like the same thing.
Buonasera.
Okay. Oh, buonasera. Okay.
Arrivederci.
And thank you ever so much for being here. What a pleasure to know you.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you guys so much for all the love and support. I appreciate you.
We're so glad you're here.
Thank you.
And that's Wanderings for today. So.